It is so lovely to be here. It's really, really wonderful to see you all. And it's great to open up this particular passage in John chapter 4. And it's just so rich and so full. And there are so many ways that we could approach this. But what I want to do is try and just move through in terms of almost putting ourselves in the place of the woman who Jesus meets. And so she's there. What would it be like to be her? What would it be like to be in her situation? How does Jesus minister to her? And how is he planning to minister to us today? So that's where we're going to go. And the first thing is just to think about this in terms of a divine encounter. So there is a wonderful encounter with God that the woman experiences. And in many ways, that's the keynote for this morning. We want to encounter Jesus. And I believe that Jesus wants to encounter me and wants to encounter you. So, verse 4 in this passage, Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he's on a journey and he had to go through Samaria. Well, yes and no. There were other routes he could have taken. Admittedly, it is the shortest route and it's perhaps the most obvious route, but there were other roads that Jesus could have travelled. And that phrase, Jesus had to go through Samaria, speaks to me about divine encounter. Jesus is searching out this woman. And we see that as the story unfolds. He's there by the well and the woman comes and he knows about her. He knows about her five husbands. There is an encounter with God that God is leading this woman into, and it's Jesus who is searching her out. He had to go through Samaria, not because there weren't other routes, but because he had an appointment with this woman and he was meeting with her. Think also of the story of Zacchaeus in the Gospels, and Jesus is there and Jesus speaks to Zacchaeus, "Come down, I'm coming to your house today." Jesus is seeking people out. Jesus seeks out this woman. Jesus seeks out Zacchaeus, and Jesus is seeking out you. He wants to have an encounter with you. It's very much my story, because I've been around Christian things for many years. People sort of assume, well, I must have grown up in a Christian home, must have known Jesus from the year dot. But actually, that's not the case. And although my home was good in many ways, I wasn't Christian, wasn't church going, and in different ways, I believe that God sought me out, brought me to a Bible class where I could hear more about the Lord Jesus, put people in my way who would share the Lord Jesus with me. I wasn't looking for God, I wasn't searching for him, but he sought me out, an encounter with the living God. Our prayer for Frinton Mission this week is that many, many people will encounter Jesus. And those of you who are involved, our prayer is that he would encounter Jesus through you. But I want to take it back a step at the beginning and say that Jesus wants to encounter you. May want to do that for the very first time. Maybe that you don't have a living relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been coming here a few times and you're just trying to find out what all of this is about. Jesus wants to encounter you. Jesus is seeking you out. But also, if you've known Jesus for many, many years, we need that fresh encounter and that fresh flowing of the Holy Spirit, the living water which Jesus speaks about. Maybe that you came this morning and you're tired and you're weary. Jesus wants to encounter you. Maybe that you came this morning and you weren't really expecting anything, but Jesus is here and he wants to encounter you. Will you be open to him as we journey through this passage today? One of my heroes, Eugene Peterson, who is the translator of the Message version of the Bible, written many, many other books as well, died a few years ago. And at his funeral, one of his sons said this. You know, my dad essentially had one message. He preached the Bible, he preached various passages, but he had one message, and essentially it was this. God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He is relentless. God loves you. He's on your side. He's coming after you. He is relentless. Is God coming after you today? He loves you. He's on your side. Maybe your heart's grown cold. Could be all sorts of things. But he wants to have an encounter with you. He is on your side. He is on your case. He has been maybe for many years, for weeks, for months. Maybe now is the moment when he breaks through and you have a real encounter with him. And what an encounter this can be. Verses 13 to 14, the living water that is promised by Jesus. Let's just remind ourselves of these words. Everyone who drinks this water, thinking about the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Am I booming a bit with the microphone? I'm very happy to use another mic, but maybe it's just me and what I'm hearing through the speakers. What do you think? Shall I do this one? So if you turn this one off, and I'll use this one. Is that a little bit better? I don't want to be echoing all the time at you. There is this living water that Jesus offers, and it's bubbling up, it's welling up, and it's so attractive a picture, isn't it? We've gone through a real heat wave, and there's probably more heat to come, and we have just got a small taste of what it is to be sometimes perhaps without water, longing for water. People in the majority world are often in this situation where it's arid and it's dry because of climate change, and there is just this longing for water and this sense of the indispensability of water. Clean water, when it bubbles up, when it wells up, is so welcome, and it is absolutely essential for life. And that is the picture that Jesus gives. The physical water, the water at the well, is a picture of the wonderful water of Jesus that he brings to us, welling up to eternal life. What does this actually mean? Well, it is primarily, I think, a picture of the Holy Spirit. As John's Gospel unfolds, John 7, you have the Feast of the Tabernacles, and Jesus cries out, "Come to me, and I will give you water." And it's that sense of life, and he refers it deliberately and very distinctly to the Holy Spirit. And what happens when we come to faith in Jesus? We believe in him, his death and his resurrection. And God comes to us. His Holy Spirit comes to us, dwells in our hearts. And there is this living water that flows. Water that is cleansing. Water that is renewing. Water that is refreshing. Water that is life itself. This wonderful picture is a wonderful reality for those who know Jesus. And as we think about this encounter, we see that the water that Jesus gives is the only thing that can satisfy. We look elsewhere for satisfaction so often, don't we? We look in a consumer society to a consumer culture, and we want to purchase more and more things that we don't need. But that never satisfies. We get mired in materialism and consumed by consumerism, and it promises much, but it delivers little. Sometimes we focus on career in a very selfish way, and we want to get on the ladder, and we want to gain power more and more and more, but again, that never satisfies. It promises much, and maybe for a while it delivers something, but then it dies away. But if we focus on Jesus, if we focus our thoughts and our hearts on him, if we desire him, then he always satisfies. The spring of living water never runs out. It bubbles up and it bubbles up and it bubbles up. And as you encounter him today, and as I encounter him today, I pray that we would just get a desire to encounter him day by day and week by week, and to find our joy in him. As we encounter him, may we know that living water flowing into our lives. Another encounter can be the encounter of challenge, and that is really, really important. Jesus is engaging with this woman, and he's taking her down a path, and he challenges her about the way that she's living her life. Says to her, you know, actually, you're quite right that you have no husband. You've had a string of relationships and it hasn't worked out. We don't know why. We can very easily be quickly condemning, but Jesus doesn't do that. And there is forgiveness for the many, many times that we have slipped up, whatever that might be. Even so, there is a challenge that Jesus wants to give, and that is part of encounter. The living water flows for forgiveness, but the living water flows to clean us out and to transform our lives. God takes me just as I am in Jesus, but he doesn't leave me just as I am. He changes me, he transforms me by his grace, and for his glory, he leads me on. But do you notice what happens here when the challenge comes to the woman? Jesus says to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. How does she respond? Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Not every commentator agrees on the interpretation of this, but I think she is changing the subject. What is this about? There's this challenge, it's gone quite deep into our lives, and, oh, sir, I can see you're a prophet. Actually, I've got this question about where we worship. Is it on this mountain? Is it on Jerusalem? What's that about? Is it relevant? Not really. Not to what's going on in her life at that time. You maybe know that as you engage with friends who don't know Jesus. Maybe that you are sharing something about Jesus with someone, and they say, well, who created God then? Or what about this? Or what about that? And actually, you need to take those questions seriously, because they can be real questions, but sometimes it's someone who is changing the subject. But we can do that as well, can't we? Jesus puts his finger on something in our lives, in my life. Jesus says, actually, I want you to change. There's grace for forgiveness, but there's grace for change as well. And we say, Jesus, what about this? Or we say, Jesus, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. And actually, it's never. Jesus wants to come to us as part of this encounter today. And I think he wants to say to people here this morning, as he wants to say with me, I want you to change. I want you to continue to grow. That habit where you've got stuck, that thing that you know to be wrong, that sense that you've grown a bit half-hearted in Christian service, I want to warm you up. I want to change you. There's grace of forgiveness. And do hear that. The living water flows. It's a beautiful picture of forgiveness. God washes us clean. Yes, he takes us just as we are. But also he wants to change. Also he wants to transform. Also he wants to grow. Also, as part of this encounter, he wants us to be different. Actually, the way that God led this woman forward, the way that Jesus led this woman forward, there was change, there was transformation, there was encounter. What does God want to change in your life? How does he want to touch you? How does he want to transform you and lead you on? And then we move into spirit and in truth. There is this wonderful word about worship that is given and the importance of spirit and truth. The preposition in is there for both spirit and truth in what Jesus says, and they are absolutely linked together. As people say, a word without the spirit, you dry up, you get very dry and dusty. A spirit without the word, you blow up. There's a lot of froth and bubble, but maybe there's not so much substance. Word and spirit together, you grow up. Don't dry up, don't blow up, but grow up. Word and spirit together. And we need them in our worship. We need word and spirit together in our lives. I know that you're a words and spirit church. That's so exciting. Press into that more and more. I know that your word and spirit people press into that more and more. And especially now, the Holy Spirit, because I think that's where Jesus' focus is here. I don't be happy with mere orthodoxy. Don't be happy with just the word. The word of the gospel, it is so wonderful, it is so special, and it is sufficient. But the gospel itself tells us that the Spirit needs to come and make that word alive and apply it to our hearts. This word of encounter. God is truth. Jesus is truth. He came as the Word of God. He lived among us. He teaches us. He died for us. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of honor and power and glory. And he is coming again one day. It's the gospel that is just so wonderful. But we need to encounter Jesus. We need to encounter that gospel for ourselves, in our hearts, in our lives, deeply. If we believe that Jesus is alive, then we should expect him to show up when we meet together. If we believe that Jesus is alive, then we would expect him to be at work in transforming power in our lives. The gospel is not feelings based, but if we know and love Jesus, then feelings are important, emotions are important, and we can expect to experience Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The living water is something that we can taste. The living water is something that we can take deeply into our lives. The God of grace and truth, who is Jesus, who is Word and Spirit, who is alive today. And if you encounter Jesus in this way, then you can share. An encounter for us, but also an encounter for others, just briefly, because this woman encountered Jesus at the well. And she had all sorts of issues, didn't she? She had a backstory of things where she'd messed up and things undoubtedly that had been done to her. That sense maybe of sin and shame. She's confused about the scriptures. She's seeking to avoid the issue. As a Samaritan, she is part of a group who were looked down on by the Jews, indeed who were despised by the Jews. And so there are all sorts of things going on. Disadvantages that she can do nothing about. A life story that is difficult and tough and where there is shame. And yes, undoubtedly she is messed up as well. And yet she has encountered Jesus. And she goes and she shares. In our time of prayer before the service, one of the leaders prays in respect of this passage. It's not so much our ability, it's our availability. I think it was you, wasn't it? Thank you so much for the prayer. And that sense of, yeah, if you have an ability as an evangelist, then God is going to use you in this week. And God is going to use you in the workplace. And God is going to use you in your family and the wider community and wherever God sends you. And that's wonderful. You are released and you are supported in that ministry. If you have that ability, if you have that gifting. But for those of us who don't have a particular evangelistic gifting, God still uses us as a witness. And our availability is more important than our ability. This woman had encountered Jesus, and she was available to Jesus, and she went for Jesus. Whatever your experience, whatever your backstory, whatever your gifting, whatever God opportunities that you're being given, if you are available to God, then God can and God will use you. You might not get the words right. You might get things mixed up like this woman did. But if you can say, I know Jesus, I've encountered him, he loves me, and he wants to get to know you too, then that has huge traction in a world that is looking for reality, in a world that is looking for a real authenticity. If you know and love Jesus, if you and Jesus are doing life together and you're available to him, then God's word in John 4 says that God can use you and will use you in the week that lies ahead. One final picture. What sort of water are you? I know the area around Oswestry Street in Shropshire really well, and I often go running. And an experience a while ago that I had while running, you look at the different types of water there may or there may not be. So there's a stream that I know that had completely dried up, and I ran past that. And sometimes we're like that. The water isn't flowing and we need that encounter we've got. We've got dry and we've got dusty. But then there was another bit of water that I was coming up to, and it looked great from a distance. You know, there's a bit of green and there's some water in a pool. But then when you get closer, you begin to smell. There's something that's not quite right here. And you get closer and you're probably wondering what's coming up here. It's not too terrible, but it's just a stagnant pool, okay? There was no outlet that rainwater and what have you had connected, but it had got smelly. There was nowhere for the water to get out. And then running on a little bit further, there is a stream that is flowing, and there's water flowing in, and there's water that's flowing out. If you've got dry and dusty, then you need an encounter with Jesus. But also, if we're just having the water coming in, then we can get stagnant. There's no outlet, there's no opportunity for the gospel to be shared. But if the living water is flowing in and out, there is life and health and peace. What does Jesus say to his disciples when they come back from where they were buying food and he's there at the well? We didn't read it, but let me just share those words with you. Jesus says to his disciples, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And the disciples, who are clueless as always, which is a great encouragement to us, think that, you know, someone else has bought him some food. You know, what's going on here? And Jesus has to explain to them, "No, I'm doing my Father's work." What's he been doing? He's been sharing about this living water. He's been engaging with the woman. And that is food to him. We delight in Jesus. We find our joy in him. But that joy is doubled, it's tripled, it's multiplied as we share that joy with others, as it flows through us. And we say very simply, "Jesus loves me. I've met him. I know him. It's real. I mess up lots of times, but I know that it's true. Come and see for yourself." May God bless us. May God bless you as you go out in the week ahead and you share the Lord Jesus.